Welcome to our collective nightmare, where we report on the latest chapter in America's endless loop of despair. Today, we find ourselves at Florida State University, where another mass shooting unfolded like a grim déjà vu. Students at FSU were forced to relive the horror as they barricaded themselves with computer desks and trash cans, hoping to deter yet another gunman who decided that life is just one big target practice. In this theater of chaos, screams echoed through the halls, screams of terror that have become all too familiar in our schools. It's a scene we've seen before. Students crouching under desks, texting loved ones with trembling fingers, praying they're not next on the list. And why wouldn't they be? When random violence becomes routine, every face is a potential victim. The gunman, armed like he was preparing for war rather than targeting innocent students, fired indiscriminately into the crowd. A woman in purple scrubs was shot in the back, a stark reminder that bullets don't discriminate by profession or purpose. They simply follow their trajectory until they collide with flesh and bone. For some students like Jaden D'Onofrio, this nightmare isn't new. He survived Parkland only to find himself again surrounded by fear and gunfire. A cruel rerun of tragedy without end credits. This isn't normal. It never was supposed to be normal. Yet here we are again and again and again. Incoming freshman Kylie Byan witnessed how quickly a campus tour can turn into lockdown drills. A rite of passage for today's youth entering higher education amidst bulletproof backpacks and emergency alerts. She remains undeterred because what choice does she have? In America 2023, safety is an illusion painted over reality's grim canvas. As vigils flicker against the dark backdrop of grief-stricken campuses nationwide, we continue down this path paved with thoughts and prayers but devoid of meaningful action. Because let's face it, the sad truth is no matter where you go in this country, there's always a possibility you'll become part of our collective nightmare. Until next time, or until someone decides enough is enough, whichever comes first.
On White People Problems, today we're diving into the world of former child stars and their public meltdowns, a tale as old as time itself. Our protagonist, Haley Joel Osment, who once saw dead people but now apparently sees law enforcement officers as Nazis. Yes, folks, Osment recently got himself arrested at a ski lodge in Mammoth Lakes for public intoxication and possession of a controlled substance. Because what's a trip to a ski lodge without some après-ski debauchery and an impromptu vocabulary lesson in anti-Semitism? Caught on body cam footage, our man was throwing around slurs like they were snowballs at recess. But don't worry, he's horrified by his behavior. He claims he was in the throes of a blackout when he decided to audition for Most Offensive Drunk Person at the Lodge. Osment has since issued an apology that reads like it was written by someone who's just realized that Twitter is forever. He expressed regret for using nonsensical garbage language and let us all know that he's been through a very low emotional place. Ah yes, because nothing says emotional rock bottom like calling cops Nazis while skiing. In true celebrity fashion, Osment assures us he doesn't seek forgiveness, but promises to atone. Maybe he'll do community service, like teaching kids how not to behave when you're famous and have access to both fame and substances. Let's not forget the backdrop here. This all happened after his family lost their home in the Eaton wildfire. So he's dealing with loss and displacement, and clearly trying to find solace in powder, both kinds. So there you have it. Another day, another white guy blaming bad behavior on personal hardships while making sure we know he's really sorry about it. Until next time on White People Problems, where privilege meets poor decisions for your entertainment pleasure.
Ah. The sweet irony of a world where we can sequence the human genome but can't seem to keep a handle on a disease that was supposedly eliminated over 2 decades ago. Welcome to your daily dose of dystopia, where half the United States is now reporting measles cases, with numbers climbing past 800 this year alone. Yes, dear viewer, you heard that right, measles, the disease you thought only existed in dusty history books and old-timey medical journals. The epicenter of this delightful outbreak is a quartet of states: Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and possibly Kansas, where the outbreak has reached an impressive 709 cases. A round of applause for Texas, leading the charge with 597 cases. It's almost as if they're competing for some kind of invisible trophy in public health negligence. But wait, there's more! The experts are whispering about these figures being undercounts. because many cases are slipping through the cracks unreported. It's almost like we're living in a society where ignorance isn't just bliss, it's policy. Hospitals are getting their fair share of action too, with at least 85 people nationwide admitted so far. Just imagine those bustling ERs filled with patients suffering from something as archaic as measles. It's practically vintage. Now let's talk vaccines. Or rather, the lack thereof. Only 3% of those infected had received one or two doses of the MMR vaccine. Clearly, we've decided that science and medicine are optional when it comes to protecting our communities from preventable diseases. In Lubbock, Texas, a proud epicenter, they've expanded clinic hours to administer more MMR vaccines than ever before. A whopping 450 extra doses have been given out compared to previous years. Perhaps we should start awarding medals for finally doing what should have been done all along? And lest we forget our international connections, the World Health Organization reports links between cases in Mexico and Texas, a transnational collaboration no one asked for. Cases in Colorado and Pennsylvania hint at a new kind of tourism. Come for the sights, stay for the outbreaks. Finally, let's not overlook the grim reality. Two children in Texas have died amidst this multi-state spectacle, while another death is under investigation in New Mexico, all unvaccinated. As we march toward January 2026, the potential deadline for losing our elimination status, we stand on the brink not just of an outbreak, but perhaps a new era where once eradicated diseases make their triumphant return tour across America. Who knew nostalgia could be so deadly?
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the absurdities of life while sipping our existential dread like a fine wine. Today, we're taking a trip north of the border to explore the curious case of Canada's lightning-fast election, as reported by CNN in their article titled Canadian Election. Picture this, a political race so short that if you blink, you might just miss it. 5 weeks, folks, that's barely enough time for a politician to change their tie, let alone their entire campaign strategy. Meanwhile, down south, President Donald Trump is still making headlines, not by running for office again, but by threatening to annex Canada and make it the 51st state. Because who wouldn't want more land and resources to ignore? In this whirlwind of political theater, we have Mark Carney, a man who went from central banking to prime ministering faster than you can say maple syrup. His main rival, Pierre Poilievre, whose populist charm is as Canadian as apologizing for existing. Now, let's pause and consider the irony here. In an age where attention spans are shorter than ever, thanks in no small part to TikTok dances and cat videos, Canada decides that 5 weeks is plenty of time for voters to decide who should lead them through Trump's looming threat of annexation. It's almost poetic how we willingly engage in these fleeting moments of decision-making while pondering whether any choice truly matters at all. Carney has spent his brief tenure reminding Canadians that Trump wants their water and land, an ironic twist, considering most Americans can't even find Canada on a map without Google Maps assistance. Yet there's something comforting about having an external enemy when your internal politics feel like reruns of a sitcom nobody asked for. And then there's Poilievre with his catchy slogans like Axe the Tax, which sounds suspiciously like something you'd see on late-night infomercials sandwiched between miracle diet pills and questionable exercise equipment. But hey, why not? If politics is going to be absurd anyway, might as well throw in some marketing pizzazz. So here they are, two leaders vying for power amidst threats from abroad and ghosts from past administrations. It's almost enough to make one question what it means to lead or follow in such uncertain times. In this existential circus called democracy, perhaps there are no real answers. Only questions wrapped in more questions with side orders of irony served cold on plates made from recycled campaign promises. As Canadians head into another long weekend before casting their votes on April 28th, because nothing says serious civic duty like squeezing voting between barbecues, let us ponder, does any vote really matter when life itself feels like one big cosmic joke? Or maybe that's just what makes existence worth contemplating over coffee or cocktails, whichever gets you through your own personal crisis hour today.
The capitalist's fever dream, a world remade in tariffs. In the ever-spinning roulette of global economics, President Donald Trump has decided to place his bets on a game of tariffs. A chaotic, high-stakes gamble that promises not just to shake the table, but to upend it entirely. The grandiose vision? A return of manufacturing jobs to American soil, But beneath this facade lies a grim reality, an economic order teetering on the brink of madness. Trump's tariffs are more than mere numbers. They are weapons wielded with reckless abandon. Aluminum and steel face a 25% levy. Goods from our closest neighbors suffer under similar burdens, unless they toe the line of free trade agreements, and Chinese imports endure a staggering 145% duty. It's as if every commodity crossing US borders must pay its tribute to this new world order, a toll extracted in the name of nationalistic bravado. Yet, these figures fail to capture the true absurdity, the dizzying speed at which policies are enacted, retracted, and replaced. Businesses scramble like rats on a sinking ship, trying to navigate an ever-shifting landscape where yesterday's certainty is today's casualty. Confidence is no longer currency. It is collateral damage in this war against predictability. Moody's ratings warns us of slowed global growth as if we needed another reminder that chaos breeds stagnation. Even Jerome Powell, Federal Reserve Chair turned reluctant soothsayer, admits there is no modern playbook for such upheaval. Markets react with predictable panic. Investors recoil as though scorched by the flames of uncertainty fanned by Trump's tweets. And while America turns inward with its fortress mentality, China quietly expands its influence beyond our shores. Once reliant on US markets, Beijing now courts Europe with calculated precision, a strategic pivot away from dependency towards diversification. The dragon shifts its gaze westward, while we squabble over scraps at home. Meanwhile, allies once bound by shared interests now drift apart like estranged lovers. Canada cancels trips across our border in silent protest. Europe finds solace in newfound alliances forged from necessity rather than choice. Ursula von der Leyen declares, "The West as we knew it no longer exists," her words echoing through corridors once filled with certainty. This fever dream unfolds before us, not just an economic reshuffle, but a societal unraveling, driven by profit-hungry machinations masquerading as patriotism. In pursuit of dollars and dominance, we sacrifice stability for spectacle, a Faustian bargain where everyone pays, except those who orchestrate this dance macabre from gilded towers above. So spin goes the wheel. The capitalist fever dream realized amidst crumbling foundations, and all that's left is to watch as fortunes rise or fall within this theater of absurdity called progress.